Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, Aintu leader Pather Tobin has accused the government of being soft on crime and that its policies are directly responsible for an increase in lawlessness. He has also linked available prison spaces to sentencing policy. Well, Pather Tobin joins me now, as does Senator Barry Ward of Fine Gael. You're both very welcome to the programme. Pather Tobin, to you first of all. You've accused the government, as I say, of being soft on crime and soft on the causes of crime. So what is your argument? What's your evidence for that?
Yeah, so we know that the number of Gardaí has fallen every year in per capita terms that this Minister for Justice has been in place. We know also that Ireland has one of the lowest number of police per capita in the whole of the European Union. We know that on a daily basis now, Gardaí are being attacked violently, and that actually retirements and resignations are increasing in terms of the Gardaí. And also we know that there's morale is extremely low in the force, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to recruit new Gardaí to the system. So, you know, For the last 4 years, this government has been in place, and longer, if you go back to 2011, the Garda Force is not in a good space. Secondly, we know that the prisons situation in the country is in a mess currently. A parliamentary question given to me by the Minister for Justice has stated that the number of prisoners four to a cell has increased sixfold in the last number of years. The number of prisoners three to a cell has doubled in the last number of years. And actually, the prisons are so stuffed at the moment that the minister has actually admitted to me that she is temporarily releasing criminals to make space for other criminals to come into prisons.
But temporary release is nothing new, is it?
No, but for a temporary release for the purpose of making space for other prisoners is new. And that's an astounding admission by a government, you know, not able to control the system here.
Okay.
We also know that.
Your point in relation to that is that you're connecting prison space, are you, with sentencing policy? So how is it connected to sentencing policy?
Well, first of all, it's really important to look at what's happening at sentencing at the moment. And, you know, everybody will be horrified in relation to the Natasha O'Brien situation. But that particular case is not unique in our society. Most people will have had their eyebrows raised a number of times over the last number of years in relation to, you know, lenient sentences for horrific, violent or sexual crimes. So I looked over the Court of Appeal details way back until 2014, and I've seen that in 2016, for example, 22% of all appeals brought before the Court of Appeal were on the basis of undue leniency, while last year that had increased to 42%. So the proportion of cases being brought now to the Court of Appeals for undue leniency has nearly doubled in the space of 8 years, which is incredible. And then if you look at the actual judgments by the Court of Appeal, back in 2015, a third of all their judgments were overturning sentences that
were
considered.
Yeah, but what's your point? So you're saying the number of lenient sentences has increased. And what's your point in relation to crime then?
First of all, that in itself is a problem, okay? That, like, the government have control over sentences in a number of different ways. First of all, the government can introduce mandatory minimum custodial sentences for violent crime.
Which they have
or for
recently.
Sexual crime.
Yeah.
But in general, the government are actually allergic to actually bringing about minimum custodial sentences. They'll increase maximum custodial sentences all day long, but it doesn't matter about those because increasingly they're not being implemented at all. But in my view, the judges work within a criminal justice system, and what's happening is the judges understand that the prisons are actually full in relation to where they're sending these prisoners. And I believe that may be having an effect over the decisions
that these judges are making in relation to that. You're saying the judges are looking around, there's no prison space, and they're imposing more lenient sentences as a result. Is that right?
Well, the judges are working within the physics of the system, and the government system means that the location for prisoners is stuffed. Like right now, there's more prisoners in prison beds.
Respond to that.
there's simply no basis whatsoever for Padder's last statement. There is nothing to suggest that any judge in this country has ever decided not to sentence somebody to prison or to give them a lesser sentence because of the capacity of the prison service. It is not a judge's role to do that, and judges don't do that. When a sentence is handed down, it is the job of the executive through the Irish Prison Service to provide the capacity to take that person into prison, and it is not the business of the judge to do that one way or the other, and they simply don't consider
that
matter.
What about Padder's point that if there's no space in the prison, what can a judge do?
Well, it's nothing to do with the judge. The judge hands down the sentence, and then it's up to the prison service or the executive to put that person in prison. Yes, the prisons are overcrowded. That's a valid criticism, which is why Helen McEntee is seeking to have more investment in prisons to increase prison sentences. She's identified 1,100 prison places to come on stream over the next number of years. She's secured €150 million in capital over the next 2 years.
Yeah, but that's in the future.
Like, yes, of course,
so
it is.
So but if a judge imposes a prison sentence on someone, let's say, and there's no space, what happens?
Well, first of all, it depends. It's not a matter for the judges, the first thing.
Yeah, I know, but what happens? Yeah.
Well, the person goes into prison, as I say, it's a legitimate criticism to say prisons are overcrowded. But if it's the case, for example, as Padder is suggesting, that somebody has to be released to make space for that person, of course, there are people who, as you say, get temporary release, get early release. That is something that is as old as our prison system.
But to make space is something new, he says.
Yes, I know. And if somebody is released, it'll always be the person who's closer to the end of their sentence or person who has been convicted of a
less serious
crime. So you're
saying that is happening then?
No,
no. People are being released to make space for new people, is that right?
I'm not saying that the minister is doing that. What I'm saying is
that's what Padder is alleging.
I know that's what he's alleging, but I don't think he has any grounds for alleging it.
Well, can I come back?
Sorry, just to be clear, he says the minister told him that.
I know he is.
The minister, so I quote the minister here, if you can, Cormac.
Yeah.
Just very briefly, the minister says, where the number of prisoners exceeds the maximum capacity any prison, my officials make every effort to carefully select candidates for temporary release.
Yeah, and that's not the minister, that is their officials. It's done by the governor of the relevant prison. But of course that happens.
No. Actually, by law, the minister signs the legislation, order. The minister has responsibility.
Let me just clarify
what
you're saying.
The book stops with the minister, is that?
Of course it does, and I'm not saying
so the minister is releasing prisoners who haven't completed their sentence to make space for new people, is that right?
No, but that has always happened. We have a system here which, we don't want a system where somebody's sentenced to jail and essentially the answer is, that's it, you're in for 10 years, throwing away the key, there's nothing you can do about it. The system is built to incentivize good behaviour and rehabilitation.
No. That's built into the
it
sentence
is, and
anyway.
For that reason,
no, hang on a second. Let's be absolutely clear on this.
I will be clear, Cormac. If you just let me finish.
No, because what you're saying is actually not correct, is it? So there is a portion of the sentence that is about 25% that is discarded, so to speak, in common parlance.
It's called remission.
So it's discarded, but you still have to serve your sentence. Yeah. And what's actually happening, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that notwithstanding that element, people are being released early because there isn't enough space for new convicts.
So let's be clear. If you get a 10-year sentence in court today, you are due to serve, your release date will be 7.5 years from now because you automatically get a quarter off in remission. But that remission is not thrown away. It's there as an incentive to the person to behave well in prison, but also to avail of rehabilitation opportunities and things like that. Even with that, taking that into account, of course, there are circumstances where towards the end of that 7.5 years, a person might be granted early release. And the factors that are coming to weigh on that are decided by the prison governor. And that's the person who actually makes the decision about temporary or early release. Temporary release is different because it's subject to conditions. And people are temporary released for all kinds of reasons, including, for example, to attend parents' funerals or family events or whatever it is. And that might only be for a day or a few days or whatever that might be. So there are lots of complexities built into this. But Padder is making a logical jump from the idea that the prisons are overcrowded. He's now saying, therefore, judges aren't sending to prison. There's no evidence whatsoever for that. He's also saying, essentially, that prisoners who shouldn't be released from prison are being released. That's not true either, because if it's the case that a decision is made to release somebody early, the person who's chosen is A, a non-violent offender, B, a non-sexual offender, and C, somebody who's coming towards the end of their sentence in any event.
So what's wrong with that, Padder, if that's the case?
Well, first of all, Barry's done a terrific job of deflecting there, because the key point here is Ireland is becoming a significantly more dangerous place in terms of murder has nearly doubled in the last year. We have the level of sexual violence increasing over the last 10 years, the level of robbery and attacks happening in our main streets right around the country
now,
No, wait. I'll get to the point very, very clearly. But these points are linked, and this is really important. Ireland's becoming really very, very, very dangerous in these terms. Now, the criminal justice system is breaking down. The key core elements of it are not functioning. And one of the reasons they're not functioning is because the minister admits openly that the prisons are stuffed. Absolutely stuffed. And the minister has clearly said in black and white, and I'll put it up on Twitter after the show, she has stated that she's putting people on temporary release because the number of prisoners are exceeding the maximum capacity.
But that's always happens, says Barry Ward.
It hasn't always happened because excess over maximum capacity hasn't always happened in this country. And so that motivating factor for that temporary release hasn't always existed before. And secondly, judges don't operate in splendid isolation. They operate within the physics of the system. No. And the physical situation of the system means that it's becoming increasingly harder to put a prisoner into a prison because the prisoners are full. And the other issue here
is...
Barry mentions that there is more accommodation. The government have been in government since 2011, and yet they can only talk about the future tense when it's a key performance indicator of their government. And that's just not good enough.
You just haven't provided enough prison space.
As Pater knows, the population has increased quite significantly the last number of years. And of course, therefore, the prison population also increases. But the point is that a number of years ago, Helen McEntee put in place the provisions to build new prison places
where
to accommodate those people. They are coming on stream. As I said, in the next 2 years, there's €150 million allocation for the provision of 1,100
prison spaces. Is that good enough, though? Should we not have them?
It's what is being done. I mean, in terms of the population, the overall increase, that is a fact of life. But can I come back to...
Should that have been quicker, though? Implemented quicker, new prisons?
I mean, the funny thing is that many people on the same side of the House as Pater are criticising the minister for creating more prison centres because they're saying she's trying to send more people to jail when in fact she's trying to create greater capacity for a greater population. But Pater said something there that is simply not true. He said judges don't exist in splendid isolation. Constitutionally, they actually do. There is a separation of powers between the judicial branch of government, which sentences people to go to jail when they've convicted crimes, and the executive branch, which actually carries out those sentences. Judges are not entitled to
overreach.
Okay, so
I understand that point. So can you answer his question then as to why the number of undue leniency applications have doubled recent years?
Well, first of all, the number has not. What Pater is saying is the proportion, and he's chosen his figures very carefully. So he went back to 2016, where he said the 22% of the appeals were against undue leniency. That was a year in which there were 147 appeals. And then he chose 2023, where he said it's 42%, but there were only 56 appeals that year. So if you actually look at the number of appeals in 2016, it was 32, and that has fallen to 24 in 2023. But in any event, it's not a metric that actually tells you about sentencing. What it tells you about is what the DPP is doing. And with the introduction of the Victims Directive, the DPP takes serious cognizance of what victims think about a sentence. So when a sentence is passed, the prosecuting barrister and the prosecuting Garda will consult with the victim to see what they think. And if victims are very unhappy with that sentence, that will lead to the DPP making a decision and considering whether it is unduly lenient and then appealing it. So it's actually a function of a greater role for victims rather than anything else.
Father Tobin, a final word to you.
Yeah, I think people listening to Barry will think that he's speaking about an alternative universe, because it's not the experience of people in this country at the moment when they see what's happening in terms of sentencing. For sure, the number of appeals have reduced in the appeals court over the last number of years. That's because the appeals court was created in 2014 and there was a backlog in relation to that. I don't want to fill prisons up left, right and centre around the country, but I do want a deterrent so that a person who commits a violent or a sexual assault knows that they will have a custodial sentence.
And they will.
And that's not happening at the
moment.
There should
be no doubt about that.
We'll leave that there. Senator Barry Ward of Fine Gael, Pádraig Tobin, AIM2 leader. Thank you both very much indeed.